Welcome to Life in Full Expression with me, your host, Beth Wolf. In this show, we will explore, elevate, expand, and learn how to live your best life. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to live your life in full expression or create an expansive vision for your future? Get ready to be energized to fully express yourself, discover your heart's clarity for dynamic direction and life decisions, and develop your unique capabilities so you are delivering your ever-increasing capacities into your world. Join me, Beth Wolf, and unleash the limitless capabilities of your soul, experiencing amazement, collaboration, fun, and purpose. Life in Full Expression starts now. Welcome, you guys. So glad that you are showing up today for another segment of Life in Full Expression. And I'm your host, Beth Wolf. And today we're going to finish up with a three-part series on secrets of world-class listeners. And I'm going to give you a quick, basically an overview of the last two episodes. So if you have missed part two or part one, I just invite you to go back and get a greater detail in that. But today, let me just preempt things that if you are an employee or an employer, we're going to emphasize how you can use some secrets of world-class listeners as an employee and employer. So if you're sitting around and chilling, you want to grab some other employee fellows or employers and have a listen, and just you might go away with some tips that you guys could practice by the end of this episode, you can put them into play today. So let's just do an overview of the six. Well, we're going to start off with five levels of being a world-class listener and knowing the secrets to it. One of them is that if you want to create great listening, it's important that you have a right environment, either in your personal or your professional aspect. So, you know, I gave an example. If you're meeting a friend for coffee and all of a sudden the conversation takes a turn, then that friend is like starting to share things that are pretty important and in-depth, and it's a noisy place. You might want to think about, hey, you know, I noticed there's a table outside. How about we go out there and listen out there so that I can really hear you? Just giving greater value to what we call the speaker. So that would be level one, is that you're in the right environment. And if you're an employee, employer, you know, you want to think about too, is it a right environment where you both can be engaging and listening to the speaker? And then level two, clearing away distractions. A lot of times we've got our, you know, I'll step away. You got your phone right here and you got all kinds of notifications coming in. It might be a good time to just put that aside, put it away, even maybe just turn it off during the conversation for a bit if you can, but at least put it on silent mode and be totally tapped in and tuned in. And then the next level of being really an extraordinary listener is understanding what the speaker is saying on the outside. And here's a little bit of some do's and don'ts that we've gone through, is really allowing yourself to have an open and interested posture. Maybe lean in a bit, and if your arms are crossed, uncross them. And sometimes I've heard that if you pay attention to the other person's body language and they have an open posture, for you to actually mimic that posture if they have an openness with it. Is one idea. And it just sends a message that, go ahead, I'm really listening, I'm leaning in. Give the speaker regular feedback, reflect their feelings and paraphrasing what they say, but allow yourself to be aware enough that when there's an appropriate pause for you to actually reflect some of the things that they're saying. And you can nod, you know, yes, periodically. And then going a little bit a step further in this is asking clarifying questions. Open-ended questions, and again, wait till the person is paused enough. And then bringing in two important don'ts at this level. Don't be a sentence grabber. In other words, interrupting and finishing the speaker's thoughts, because you really may not fully know what they're thinking. And then another don't is don't pull the conversation off track by picking up on a minor detail or a tangent like, oh, that reminds me of that time, or and send a message. They really can become kind of squirrel thoughts, and it does send a message that you're truly not listening to be engaged. And I've mentioned in the other two episodes about there's four goals to listening in mind, and going off on that tangent is definitely not one of them. So the next level, level three, understanding what the speaker is saying on the inside, some critical mental skills that we can tap and tune into, is going into a conversation. You can set the intention that I'm going to come into this conversation with an open mind and without judgment, without jumping to conclusions, and concentrate really on what is being said. Even, I love this, this is total reality for all of us, even if what the person is saying might seem a little bit boring to you or you're not totally interested in it, we still can show that value to that person. So you might catch yourself daydreaming. So be aware of that. So don't allow your mind to wander. You know, stay tapped in, tuned in. And I found this fact last time that I shared, that the human brain can actually listen much faster than people can normally speak. And that might be some common sense information that you already know, but our average rate of what I'm speaking right now is about 125 to 175 words per minute, where we actually listen 400 to 800 words per minute. That's why on YouTube, you can speed up and listen to an audiobook a little bit faster. So jumping into level four, now we're looking at verbal and nonverbal communication, and a great listener actually pays attention to both the verbal and the nonverbal. It's a very high level skill, and wouldn't it be great if this was a normal class in our school systems? And maybe it is in your school system, and say yay to that. But where I grew up and a lot of people I know of, we never had this at all. So why is paying attention to a speaker's nonverbal communication so crucial for understanding? It's because noticing a speaker's nonverbal communication, are you ready? It is really often the key to understanding how that person really is feeling. And understanding how he or she is feeling is often the key to you and I actually understanding what the person is trying to say, what they're trying to communicate. You know, this is because our words are often inadequate for getting across our full meaning. And sometimes I think about, take this word picture, like an old-fashioned water pump, and it hasn't been used as often, and you start pumping the water, and it doesn't come out clear initially. It comes out a little bit murky, but as we continue to pump that prime of communication, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer. And so what if we would just allow space for one another to, you know, prime the pump and, you know, continue to allow greater clarity? So that's level four, is knowing that that nonverbal language is a key to understanding what they're trying to communicate. And then level five is what we ended with last episode, and that's going beyond the verbal and nonverbal communication. And here's this one. It's acknowledging those feelings and expressing the actual empathy for that speaker. And really, we looked at the leading question is, how do you discover, develop, and deliver this listening skill about acknowledging people's feelings and expressing empathy for the speaker? And so I just want to give us a quick summary on that, that only part of the speaker's communication is expressed in words, and people really rely heavily on body language, facial expressions, tone of voice for subtle shades of meaning. And a listener who misses much of that verbal, nonverbal expression is really going to misunderstand what the speaker is saying. So again, the most important thing is for us to really allow ourselves to tap in and tune in to what is this person feeling. And there was a little exercise I gave that if you wanted to actually try to practice this, is really ask yourself, find a person and a conversation that you've had in life and recall when you were deeply listened to yourself. And identify that person who's the best listener and you have known so far. Just go over that conversation in your head and recall that conversation and why you think the person demonstrated such great listening skills. And so really, tapping into that level five is a key component to really go beyond just kind of the elementary aspects of listening and allowing yourself to go deep underneath there and see what they're feeling and what they're expressing. So as we dive into level six, I'm going to preempt this that, again, if you're an employee or employer and you would love to know some really effective listening skills in business, that's what we're going to head into today in this next segment that's going to be coming up. And I'll start us off with this quote, and we're going to go for a short break, that if you plan to be a good leader, no matter what level of work you're in, or even a good leader as a partner in a relationship, a good leader as a parent at all, is listen fully. Subjugate your arrogance and need to be right and your righteous indignation for a few seconds, because only then will you hear the whisper of truth. And that's a quote by Tony DeValle, who is a business leadership speaker, and he is the author of Rethink Your Success Mindset. So let's go to a short break. And when we come back, we're going to dive deeper into this level six on listening for leaders, and come back and join us. And let's see what we can learn from this next segment coming up.
When a caterpillar spins its cocoon, it undergoes a radical change. It lets go of the parts of its past that hold it back and reforms itself as an entirely new and beautiful creature. Are you in need of a similar rebirth? Dr. Tasselfaith is your priestess of metamorphosis, guiding you as you spin your cocoon and realize your greatest change. Metamorphosis. Lead with your magic. Trust the unseen. Experience quantum leaps. Live on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.
You are a brilliantly self-aware woman with a big heart and a cycle of dissatisfying relationships. Maybe you're drawn to a man who lights a fire in you but leaves you feeling amiss. Does that sound about right? My name is Love Coach Mariah, and I help women navigate the rough waters of rocky relationship from push and pull to peace of mind. Learn more at lovecoachmariya.com. The first call is on me.
Are you trying to build something new or break away from something that no longer serves you? Are your batteries drained or struggling to hold a charge? Let me, Erica Gifford Mills, help empower you to make and maintain the positive changes you are aching for. Together, we will make a plan for your growth and new path that you can accomplish. Visit my website, GetRootedRadio.com, to schedule your free Empower Hour today.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, you guys. I'm Beth Wolf, your host today in Life in Full Expression. And today we are in a three-part series on learning some high-level listening skills from the world-class listeners. And this particular segment, if you're an employee or employer, you might want to tap in and tune in, grab a cup of coffee or tea or a cold drink, and listen to what is really going to help you be having effective listening skills. And so really, in personal conversations, we see listening skills can lead to misunderstanding. And actually, they can damage relationships at times because we think we know what they're saying, but they don't. And in business conversations, when there's poor listening, that can actually lead to dissatisfaction for one's job. It can lead to poor performance, and it could actually lead to poor working relationships with colleagues. And then that's going to affect the bottom line of your business and the production of it. So One of the things that in this series is what kind of questions are we actually could empower our employees even more? If you're a mentor, a coach, a manager, employer that's direct. And I'm going to share with you that why are questions so much more powerful than advice with employees? Now, this is actually a tactic that I love with my coaching clients. Evocative questioning, open questions, because my true belief is that the clients actually do know that the more they tap into themselves, they find out that they really can trust themselves. We're more than just these bodies. We have incredible wisdom pouring to us and through us and for us. Life is for us. It's not against us. And so learned a little bit from this book called The Coaching Habits. Say less, ask more, and change the way you lead forever. So that's a great resource that I'm tapping into in this segment. And in a nutshell, it talks about how to eliminate miscommunication about job tasks, how regular check-ins with employees can keep small problems from becoming big ones. These are kind of common sense things. How to talk with employees who seek you out to discuss a problem. You might be the coach, the mentor, the mid-manager that people actually come to for that. And how to help employees reflect on solidifying their learning after an on-the-job training. So that is a really key element. So let's look at a little bit of a comparison. Maybe you've experienced this, I certainly have, is the old school to managing employees was really tell them what to do, not necessarily ask them what to do. Now, I felt like I had a really unique experience before really becoming a master life coach and, like I like to say, a master idea generator. I have spent over 40 years as a certified athletic medicine trainer and have worked with all kinds of athletes from junior high to Olympic and professional level. And this skill of asking open-ended questions with athletes and in occupational settings, I think really sets you above as a practitioner. Because you're not telling your patient or your athlete what to do. You're actually asking them what they believe is going on with them, what they think. Gathering the history of an injury is so imperative. But a lot of times we come from, you know, just do what you're told, don't ask any questions. That's kind of outdated. It's not really happening as much anymore. So what happens is businesses weren't really interested in what employees were concerned about or their challenges. And employees felt that this is a key element. They didn't really feel like they had a voice. And when you don't feel like you have a voice, you don't feel valued. And the happiness and the contentment and the enrichment and engagement at a place really will go downhill quickly. So if you've been part of that old school managing, and maybe you probably decided even during COVID, like, I'm not going to do this anymore. So a lot of businesses have come up with a mentoring or coaching program. Yet, great idea, great move, and some of them are super successful. And tasked to listening and helping with challenges is what that mentor and coach is. But even with this mentoring and coaching, actually can fall into our advice mode. Like, are we really listening as a mentor and a coach? And I find this in my business as a coach, a life coach, business and health coaches, making sure that I am really listening to that verbal, nonverbal communication and that I am going deep to really understand what that person is trying to communicate and what they're feeling. And I'll even actually distinguish the difference between, am I coaching or I'm actually being a consultant and giving advice. And I actually ask my clients permission. So I'm going to take off the coaching hat and put on the consulting hat. Would you like some advice with this? Would that serve you? So that they actually have the option to say, no, I don't want it, or yes, I do want it. It's a little bit too to just ask the subconscious, Is there a door open for new stuff to come in? So as an employer and a mentor and a coach, that's another way that you could actually ask is, would you be willing to, you know, see a different way or have it be shown another way? This, you know, those kind of open-ended questions where you're asking more permission is where I'm coming from. So here's some best practices that you can put in play today and start practicing is really having conversations versus interviews. And that really comes down to don't ask too many questions up front. This will sound like an interview, and allowing yourself to be patient and listen. And here's a really cool next element. Ask what questions, not why questions. So here's a little bit of an example. What questions open things up and don't come off as judgmental, such as, what did you do? What else could you have tried? Where why questions sound confrontational or even put an employee almost in a defense mode, like they got to defend and explain why they did what they did. So that question would be, why did you do that? Why didn't you try this? Notice the difference of that. So let's go back to the what. What did you do and what else could you have tried? I also want you to notice a little bit of distinction of my tone of voice. Those were the what questions are can be a little bit softer, where if I go back to the why questions that, well, why did you do that? And why didn't you try this? Just notice that inflection. And if you're actually watching me on YouTube, you can see my facial expressions with that as well. So here's another key element that you can use is avoid rhetorical questions. Question starts like, did you consider or have you thought about, aren't questions at all. And this was a little bit, I mean, I had knowledge of this, but as I was learning more about the segment, I was like, oh gosh, I've done that before, definitely. And so rather they are advice with a question mark at the end. And the person that you're talking with, your employee, or in another role, that person's smart enough to see that you're trying to sneak in your ideas into the conversation. So here's what you can be. And I changed the word about versus here's what you can do versus what you can be. And the reason why I'm emphasizing that is being a state of beingness. Being an energetic state, being in a state of mindset, really you're going into a conversation and you don't necessarily have a rigid agenda in mind. You're actually going into a conversation asking honest questions. And here's a key element. You are seeking to understand the employee's problems and needs. That's the main aspect why you're in this conversation in the first place. So only then move to the problem solving mode. And I want to take us back to previous episodes. What we're talking about here is what is in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is that you're going through the process of ethos, pathos, and logos. The logos comes last, not first. You're not to give advice first. You're to completely listen and make sure that the speaker feels completely understood. So here's some ideas to practice of being in a listen, and I love another word, is be curious. So one of the things that if you're a parent, this could be an example of being in a state of asking open-ended questions, not advice-giving questions. And I had two teenagers, and they're now in their 20s. And as they, even when they were young, I would really parent with this kind of style of open-ended questions because my intent was to have my daughters really, truly end up trusting themselves. Like they're tapped in and they're tuned into their intuitive spirit and that they can know that they have a strong internal locus of control, that they're not looking outside of themselves to solve everything. And so that's basically how I parented. And they just are extraordinary young women and can solve a lot of problems by themselves because of that strong internal locus of control. So what if really you're holding space for your employees and as if they have the skills and the ability that is on its way, that they'll be able to solve these problems and you guys can do it together? That even going into these conversations of saying, well, what if I could? What if they could solve these? So it really helps them build trust. So next up is, why is getting clarity on important tasks so vital? Kind of a no-brainer question, but here it comes down to, I've done a lot of occupational consulting for firefighters, police officers, and even transit systems. And they think they're being really clear, but when you begin to actually reflect things back and ask questions, it's not so clear. So listening to an employee's concerns and goals to set an agenda for improvement is only one listening situation that occurs really on a regularity in a business. So for example, at the most basic level, getting things done efficiently in a business requires that everyone always knows what they're supposed to be working on. In other words, that they had really a clarity of purpose. But how do you achieve that? You know, how do you achieve that clarity of purpose is whenever tasks are assigned and directions are given, both the person giving the directions and the person receiving the directions need to actually listen well to ensure that understanding. So if this might be a weak point in your business for both managers and employees, this may be something that you want as a habit to begin to build in. So how do you do that? Well, let's take a short break coming up here. Well, actually, let me just give you these simple steps and then we can come back. And I got an example that I did with the transit system. But whenever a task is assigned, the employee charged with doing that task, always allow them to restate in their own words and parameters of that task. In other words, you're allowing time for reflection. And for the manager's part, he or she could get into the habit of asking the employees to restate what was said and listen really well. And I use this skill set all the time in coaching. And that can help eliminate a lot of misunderstandings. And if this approach is new to you, you'll probably need to put some scaffolding in place to make sure you and the employee remember to do this consistently. Because, you know, if you're not doing it now and you want to incorporate it, then you get to create some space and time. So you can actually create and use a checklist for your task assignments to ensure basically you cover everything. And yes, this is a little bit of an agenda, but you've already done the work of reflecting and asking back to them. The other thing is I had the employee summarize. You could have the employee summarize back to you the task directions. And then for the employee, basically, they have summarized back to the manager of the task directions. So, of course, you know, the other aspect is that if you have written assignments, so many of us maybe aren't working face-to-face anymore, and we're online, and all the instructions are in written form, that you might be a project manager of software in your business where the assignment really are spelled out for you, for the employees. And here's the thing is, you may think that you don't have to bother with face-to-face verbal exchanges, but let's just pause for a moment because secrets of world-class listeners go way beyond written instructions. You're not going to be able to, if it's all possible in your business, you really want to see people's nonverbal communication. And it really could be a mistake if you're just relying on written instructions. Sure, it's a good idea to write them out, but everyone writes differently for directions. I know that I can read directions and not get them well. So everyone reads them differently. And sometimes we leave things out in written instructions. So even if you have the task directions written out, it might be still a great habit to employ some kind of feedback system that you can talk, whether it's through chat conversation or getting on with Zoom. So you could actually experiment for a week. Here's a little idea you could implement and start this Monday, is at the end of a conversation with your employer or employee that you have work and information is exchanged, is that you both conclude with a summary of what was said between each other. And at the end of the conversation, maybe you've come to an agreement, go ahead and summarize the agreement. And, maybe this is a new thing in your business and you're like, I've got so many employees and how do I even begin to implement this? Well, you might try a little pilot experiment and choose one or two employees to do this with that you know that you could trust to actually be engaging in the process, as well as that they would be honest and true and give you engagement with it. So there's a little bit about really how you can implement some more reflection at work as an employer employee. So let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to share a little bit more about what's the benefit of scheduling some regular check-ins and how could we make those check-ins a little bit easier for employees, employers? So come on back after this short break. Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression, where we're learning about really some secret sauce of world-class listeners. Be right back after this break.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
You have one life to live. You want to spend it doing something you enjoy and that has meaning. If you're listening to this, then you're among the many who feel that the work they're doing is no longer a fit. My comprehensive coaching will support you and help you figure it out. I've coached hundreds of people through career transition. So visit my website today to book a free call, www.reinventing-u.com, when what you do matches who you are.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What did you say?
Everybody, or if you're just joining us, my name is Beth Wolf, the host of Life in Full Expression, and today we're learning about listening for leaders and really employing effective listening skills in business. And, I've been around businesses for over four decades. My parents own multiple businesses, and I just continue to learn some great secret stuff today. So the name of our segment is really The Secrets of World-Class Listeners. And today in this segment, I want to talk about what's the benefit of really scheduling regular check-ins. Now, I'm self-employed now, but I've worked for other people. And were you like me that when you had your annual review, you were just like, oh my gosh, I wonder what, you know, I know they're going to say some good things, but I wonder what I've been doing wrong. Have you guys ever felt that way? Because I do too. And so really having regular check-ins is a good idea because it's going to prevent really slipping into default mode, especially if you're a business. And it will really help employees just, you know, if they're off doing their own thing, it's going to prevent that. And it also to not lose clarity of overall direction of your business. So, and then here's, a very important part is employees can begin to feel unappreciated if there isn't regular check-ins. Like, you don't really value their thoughts, opinions, or their challenges that may be going on. So here's a little bit more from the book called The Coaching Habit by Michael Bungay Stainer. And he came up with three questions, basic questions that you can kickstart things. And the first one is a kickstart question in these regular check-ins. So you could take a little note on this. Is the first thing that you could ask your employee of just checking in, whether, you know, you are going to where they're working or they're showing up near you, but you could ask this, what's on your mind? That's a very open question. And it's easy way, a natural way to check in. It's broad, it's open. It actually encourages the employee to talk. You might even find out a little bit more about their personal lives too, which is great to know a little bit more. This kickstart question of what's on your mind also allows her or him to go in any direction they want with the discussion. So that's a great idea. Regular check-in, kickstart question. What's on your mind? The other one is an awe question. So as they're beginning to talk, you could also ask, well, and what else might there be? And this is a handy way when you've gotten the gist of what the employee is saying, but he wants to go on and on about it. And this keeps the conversation from getting stuck on one topic. And if you feel the employee might have other things on their mind, because sometimes, you know, you're just talking and rambling and not realizing that you're actually saying the same thing over and over again. So you can easily just, when there's a good place to pause in the conversation, the speaker is, and what else might there be? The third part might be that is the focus question. And really that sounds like, what's the real challenge here for you? Again, you're starting to go for what's deeper under there, under the hood. And you use this question in the conversation to actually turn into a loosey-goosey, maybe venting session on the employee. And it helps it get back on track. Again, that question is, what's the real challenge here for you? And it helps sharpen the conversation and pinpoint the real source of the problem. And you can ask the employee really plans to do about it, maybe more of a conversational flavor that could go on between the two of you. So the next step is, in these world-class listening skills, is how to satisfy your employees' needs during an impromptu conversation. And remember, we're focusing on business at this time and professional, but you can probably see that we could use these in our personal life as well. So one of the things that you could satisfy is a foundational question of, here it goes, what do you want? After allowing the employee to explain the situation that caused her or him to seek you out, you can actually focus the direction of the conversation by asking this question, what do you want? You know, one of my mentors asked the question of, what would you love? If anything could happen here, what would you love? And this shows that you have the employee's needs and desires at heart, but it also focuses her or him on the solution. Have you ever noticed that if you just keep talking about the problem actually expands? There's a time where you get to shift it in to solution mode. And then the next step is, how can I help you? After allowing an employee to explain the situation that caused her to seek you out, you can focus on the direction of the conversation by asking this question. And this really, again, shows that you are concerned about the employee's needs and the desires of their heart, but it also, again, focuses on the solution. So I thought I'd read to you a little bit of an example of a conversation between an employee named Hugh and the manager, Mary Ellen. So here we go. Starts out with Hugh. He knocks on the office door and he says, "Hey, Mary Ellen, do you have a minute?" And she says, "Sure, what's up?" He says, "I wanted to talk to you about the project schedules." And Mary Ellen goes, "Oh, what about them?" Hugh says, "Well, I think there needs to be more flexibility built into them. Every project is scheduled for 3 weeks, but the projects aren't exactly alike. Some of them are more challenging than others. The last project I worked on was easier. I mean, I was done in 2 weeks, and I found myself stretching things a bit just to not finish too early. I went ahead and got some other work done on a side project, but I kind of felt like I was slacking. And the project I'm on now, it's a lot more challenging. And the only way I can see getting it done in 3 weeks is to pull some late nights. And as you know, I don't get paid any extra for that extra work." Well, Mary Ellen says, "I definitely see your point. So what do you want?" And Hugh says, "I just want there to be more flexibility in the project schedule." And Mary Ellen says, "That, you know what? It's worth looking into. How can I help you?" And Hugh says, "I guess what I want you to is really talk to the project manager and see if he is open to the schedule being a little more flexible. You guys have regular meetings to talk about these things, right?" Mary Ellen says, "We do." Hugh says, "Well, maybe there can be some kind of quick overview between the project managers and those who have to carry out the projects at the very beginning of each project. And a timeline can be set based on how challenging the project looks." Do you see the solution right there? Hugh already had the answer. He just wanted to get it up to the right people that could actually do something about it. Mary Ellen says, "Interesting idea. I'll make a note to bring it up at our next meeting, and I'll get back to you on what people think." And Hugh says, "Thanks. I appreciate you looking into it for me." So there's a little bit of just an example of what it looks like to really allow yourself to reflect back what the employee is saying, but satisfying an employee's needs in an impromptu conversation. Pretty cool, huh? And so if that's something that you are not doing in your business right now, you could go ahead and implement that right away. So how can you help your employees reflect on their learning? Reflection is a key element of learning, often left out in the process. So remember that reflection helps an employee sharpen their learning. If the marketplace may always be changing, customers want new services or new products. So having that reflection element can really help an employee stay sharp and stay engaged, stay having fun. Challenges can be fun and cause growth. So allow time to check in and have follow-up conversations about this with your employees, and allow them time to actually reflect and for you to reflect. And so really learning the question was, what was most useful for you is another great question. And this helps employees really hone in on the key takeaways. And it also lets you know if someone missed some key points from the training, which allows you to do some targeted follow-up training, as that's basically also being a great educator and teacher. I also teach a college class. And so I'm looking at how the students are doing on the assignments? And is there one key element that there's a common thread that they're all missing the same question? If that's so, then I could look, that's a reflection back to me that maybe I get to spend a little bit more time on that element of that chapter so that I make sure that the students are really absorbing that. So that's another way that I pay attention, and it's an online class. So let's just recap a little bit here. Poor communication within a business is one of the biggest reasons for underperformance and even failure. And when communication breaks down inside a business, it can take many forms, of course, but it can also be very challenging to deal with. So many businesses have found that having managers learn sound listening skills, or even better, hiring coaches dedicated to communicating with employees, can go a long way toward heading off problems. And then, you know, really, such coaches, really, you want to have those kind of coaches that are asking open-ended questions. So establishing routines such as verbal summaries can help, and really proven questions that you can have as well. So let's go to a short break. And when we get back, we're going to recap this whole series on Secrets of World-Class Listeners. This is Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression. Come on back and we'll give a recap of all of it. Looking forward to that with you. Be right back after this short message.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day. You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
Welcome back, you guys, or if you're just joining me, I'm doing a recap on the Secrets of World-Class Listeners. This is a three-part series, and this is the third part, and we're coming in for a landing today as we've really been focused more on leadership and listening skills in the workplace. So let's just look at a recap today. So here we go. I made sure I got a long list here for you so I would remember all the points. And while adults spend more time listening than they do on any other communication skill, most of us are not necessarily good listeners. We think, you know, just saying, nodding our head and eye contact is good listening. But if you've listened to all three of these episodes, that's level 1 out of 6. So most people think that they are good listeners, but the conception of good listening is limited and wholly inadequate in a lot of situations. And research has shown that the best listeners are much more active and engaged in conversations than most people would expect. In fact, highly skilled listeners ask clarifying questions, they empathize with the speaker, and they demonstrate a willingness to help. And the second recap is Well, what does it look like and how do you actually become a good listener? And learning how to fully attend to a person who's speaking. You know, you've got the right environment, the distractions are turned off, you're tuned into their verbal and nonverbal communication, and you're really developing a set of physical and mental habits that allow you to understand what the speaker is saying. Again, this is all demonstrating that we are really honoring and respecting each other very much so. And it also demonstrating that our body language and facial expressions matter, that periodically paraphrasing what the speaker says and asking, again, some great open-ended and clarifying questions. Make sure that we stay mentally engaged, even if the conversation isn't necessarily your favorite. And then really attentive listening strategies really are about, you know, tuning out the background noise and keeping an open mind of what the person is saying. And at times, you know, repeating what they say and reflecting back to them. Third, there's only a small part of a speaker's overall communication is expressed by words. Remember, that is a small part of it. People rely heavily on body language, facial expressions, and tone of voice to convey some subtle shades of meaning. And so it's really important that we're listening and watching the verbal as well as the nonverbal communication, because that's the key to what the speaker is really feeling. Ultimately, that's what we want to find out, is we really want to find out what the speaker is feeling. And then once you learn what that speaker is feeling, then you want to take the next step and empathize with them. So sometimes it's very difficult to change someone's mind. And as I mentioned in another episode, you're like, you can't change someone's mind. No, you can't. They're going to change it. But you could provide additional information for them. But there is a system to that. So it's possible at times, if you become highly adept at listening to another person's position and equally adept at presenting your own case. So you can see that there's an equilibrium to this process, that you're listening as well as, you know, you can look at that like a law of circulation, that the first aspect is that you're in receiver mode. You're receiving all of this person's information, and then it circulates to the giving, and then you're giving your case. So here's some things to avoid in this process is avoid arguing, avoid criticizing the other person, like, for example, no name calling, or getting too emotional, all things that ensure that your effort will really not be wasted. If you start criticizing and arguing, certainly I have had those unskillful things in my own life. So the other thing is to is adopt a mindset of seek first to understand and then be understood. Listening to the other person with empathy, without judgment, and without mentally planning a counter argument. Have you ever found yourself doing that, where you're listening and you're getting ready to debate it, but we're not on a debate team? That's not the goal of listening, and necessarily most of the time is you're not there to debate. So once you completely understand the person is coming from, you can state your case. Remember the ethos, pathos, logos. If the other person allows you to present some counterpoints, the most effective approach is to start with areas where you have some common ground and then gradually work your way into areas where you disagree. So really, you know, coming from the end in mind first is very, very helpful. All right. And then have a conversation with someone. If they are highly emotional, it's great that by setting a goal of giving solace to the other person by simply being there for him or her emotionally and letting them talk. So let the person move forward. you need to let them get out the fight or flight that is really going on in them, and allowing just the talking that person down. And this process really involves through several stages. It focuses first on the frustration, and then on the why they may be upset, and finally on the disappointments about the situation. Each stage of the discussion moves further and further. So you really want to get to the root of what's caused or causing the trigger event and the person's emotional reaction. And then finally, poor communication inside a business often leads to underperformance and possibly even failure. So communication breakdowns take many forms. They can be multiple routines and structures need to be implemented to ensure there's, you know, information is communicated clearly. Managers and coaches can employ sound and non-directive listening skills to head off the problem. You can use some of the questions that we presented today. And then really, how establishing routines such as a verbal summary of tasks that you could start today in your business. So thank you for joining me today on this final part series on the secrets of world-class listeners. And next Monday, we have been doing occupational dimension. These last three Mondays, we're going to dive into a new dimension next week. So remember that powerful questions bring powerful answers. Allow yourself to awaken to your greatness and express your soul essence in the world. Keep exploring, elevating, and expanding, and I'll see you next week on Life in Full Expression.
Thanks for tuning in to Life in Full Expression with me, Beth Wolf. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be your most elevated self and pursue a path of fulfillment, clarity, expansion, fun, and living your best life. If you would like to discover the seven dimensions of your life blueprint of expression, to fully express yourself, reveal your heart's clarity for dynamic direction, and activate your unique capability, visit BethWolf.com. That's Beth, W-O-L-F-E.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.